Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Will YouTube eventually make television obsolete? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is August 20th, 2013. Thanks for joining us today. We are on day two of our internet article, YouTube's Marketing Magic. You can find it on pages 30 and 31 in your Advanced magazine. And it's an interesting article, a lot of fun, lots to talk about, and we can all relate to it. We're the YouTube generation here, even though we're all different generations, but we all have our own YouTube experience, and it's great to have this topic, and I hope you're enjoying it. And let us know what you think about it. Let us know what your favorite or least favorite YouTube experience was. You can write in to us at letters@studioclassroom.com. Go to our webpage or leave us a comment on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm happy to have my two panelists back in the studio, Josh Mooney and Joanna Wirtz. Hi, panelists.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. All right, let me get a thought from each one of you here. First, Joanna.
Let's talk about the word we learned yesterday, egalitarian, meaning everyone's got an equal chance. Everyone has a chance to make it big on YouTube. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that the average person with a computer, internet connection, and a little bit of creativity can become a viral sensation, and that some of the things we enjoy so much on YouTube don't come from a corporate place and they don't come from Hollywood. They're just somebody who has something cool to share.
Somebody, anybody, could be you.
I doubt it will be, but maybe.
Maybe, or it could be Josh.
It could be, Bill. I have uploaded a few videos that have gotten tens and tens of views on YouTube. Will that make me any money? Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I think one thing we talked about at the end of yesterday's program was video advertising growing on YouTube. And I find them annoying. I understand why they're there. But it is kind of funny, too. One of my favorite things to do on YouTube is to actually find old commercials from my childhood and share those with my two young boys. So I think we skip the ads, but then watch ads on YouTube.
Well, yeah, some of those old ads are just priceless. They are just, you know, so corny, and some of the wording is like funny, awful at the same time.
Because, and it's all there. Yeah. People, I think, have taken their old VHS tapes of television and then the tapes and uploaded every commercial you could remember from your childhood.
Yeah, yeah. All right. There's just about everything on there. You type it in, you will find it.
Right.
So, okay, we had talked about you know, as far as viral videos, something that goes popular. We'll get into that today. But talking about popular videos, all right. Most viewed video. What do you think?
I think it is still Charlie Bit My Finger.
I think it's the history of dance.
Gangnam Style.
Oh, no.
1.6 billion.
Oh,
actually,
no.
It might be more by the time we get on the air here.
Oh, poor Charlie.
For a long time, it was about a guy talking about dance. But yes, Psy from South Korea.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie Bit My Finger is up there. It's close. It's about 550 million views. It's currently ranked number 6. And you said this thing about dance, right?
Is that not
Evolution of Dance.
Evolution of Dance.
Right. I've seen that one.
No, I don't see the Evolution of Dance. Now, top, I got a list here of the top 30. And in fact, Charlie Bites My Finger is the only one that is not a music video.
Good.
Yeah. That's and for those of you who don't know, Charlie Bites My Finger is about there's these two young kids and the baby bites his brother's finger.
It's just adorably sweet and innocent. Just a home video, just like anything you would see.
Yeah.
But
oh,
there's something so precious about it. And for a long time, it was number one. And
yeah.
I'm glad it had its day in the sun because I think the world needs sweet, innocent, nice things to view on on YouTube.
Yeah, because a lot of the music videos, and again, we had mentioned Justin Bieber getting a start. His mother put videos on YouTube. He's number two with Baby at nearly a billion views. So there's certain reasons music videos are so popular because, I mean, one, people like to listen to music. Actually, what I was reading about this was that people actually can play these videos. They're not really watching them all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can click this on and go, you know,
a playlist.
Clean the sink or something.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be watching it. So that's why it's just like it's people's new radio.
So mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what they're doing with things like this. So, all right, let's do this. Turn to page 31. We will have our first reading for today. We will split our reading up into two different sections. So we'll be the first section there in the left column. Catching the YouTube wave. YouTube offers marketers two ways to promote their brands. The first is to place commercials in front of videos through a program called TrueView. Viewers can skip the ads after 5 seconds, and marketers only pay if the full ad is aired. Completion rates range from 15 to 45%, according to a YouTube spokeswoman. The other way brands can leverage YouTube is through developing their own content. That ranges from sponsorships to brand channels with how-to videos, quirky user-generated content, and short-form online entertainment. While harder to quantify returns on investment, the possibility of going viral makes it a gamble worth taking for a growing number of marketers. Lisinski cautioned against chasing lightning in a bottle by creating viral content in favor of strategic planning. But marketers are pursuing both. Okay, catching the wave, catching the YouTube wave.
YouTube is offering marketers two ways to promote their brands. The first is to just put commercials in front of the video through a program called TrueView.
Okay. Now, this TrueView, it is something for like watching commercials. And now I'm experiencing that. I just started experiencing this a year and a half ago.
It's pretty new to YouTube, but it's been popular on other websites. Mm-hmm. ESPN and CNN and some of the big video streaming sites have wanted you to watch a commercial before you get to your video. And I think it's always been annoying, especially if it's a 30-second ad to watch a 30-second video. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem like it's, you know, an equitable trade giving up your time for this video. But TrueView has a few features to it that are different than just, hey, sit through my 30-second spot.
Right. Now, I have experienced that, especially like when I watch sports highlights on some of the major sports websites like ESPN or FoxSports.com. I want to see a highlight from a baseball game. It's not that long. And then I've got to watch this 30-second commercial for insurance or for a car. And I'm like, I don't even know if it's worth it.
No.
A lot of times, actually, what will happen is I will click off the page. I won't even watch the commercial. I won't even see the highlight.
Yep.
So in that case, because I don't have a choice. But with TrueView, viewers do have options, right?
Yes, they can skip the ad after 5 seconds, and never has there been a longer 5 seconds than when you were watching an ad in front of your video on YouTube.
Yeah.
But you do get to skip it, and I've noticed when I get those ads that the hook comes at the fifth second.
Ooh.
When you're watching a commercial, some sort of action happens, even if you don't care anything about what they're advertising, like a car commercial or something. Something will happen, and you'll be like, what?
I think that is becoming my favorite thing to see. You can skip this ad, right?
Yeah.
As soon as you get that
permission. 5, 4, 3, 2, click.
Now,
smile.
Of course, for the advertisers, they're trying to get you to stay, and there's a reason why.
Yes. They get paid, or actually YouTube gets paid, when you complete the action, when you actually finish the video. That's when marketer pays the full price. And notice there are three parties here. There's YouTube, Then there's the content creator, and the popular content creators, they're actually making money from these YouTube ads that are being viewed on their pages. Then, of course, they're sharing a large portion of that revenue with Google, who owns YouTube. So three parties involved here in this transaction, and you, the unwilling participant having to watch it, are giving up your time and then making money for both Google and the content creator.
Okay, and we see here completion rates range from 15 to 45%, according to a YouTube spokeswoman. So, and this completion rate, this would be the number of people that are watching the ad all the way through.
Right, which we mentioned how music videos are so popular, and a lot of people aren't even watching their player anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's got to skew the numbers quite a bit.
There's a lot of ads that are playing that people aren't even watching or seeing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so there's some, you know, inaccuracies in that number. Now, we see here in the next paragraph something about the other way that the brands can leverage YouTube.
Well, we see that word leverage again. We saw it yesterday, meaning take advantage of all the opportunities YouTube has to offer in marketing dollars. And that's through developing their own content. Like a company wants people to, they want more marketing exposure. So they develop their own video, something that is cool and people might want to watch.
Yeah. We see some examples in the next sentence.
That's right. That ranges from sponsorships, where you actually pay money to, say, be the sole provider of a certain piece of content, to your own brand channel. And this is very popular. You can actually go to a list of all the different companies, from soda companies to technology companies, that have their own channel on YouTube, and then they bring you, you know, basically long and short form commercials about their products.
Have you guys ever been to the Blend Tech channel?
Yes.
The popular video series, Will It Blend or Does It Blend? It's just a man in a lab coat advertising blenders, but he puts everything into the blender. iPhones, toys, everything. And there's something wonderful about watching things get destroyed in a blender.
Okay. That goes... That appeals to people because, it's entertaining in some form. It's a little bit of a release.
Mm-hmm.
So normally I wouldn't watch that. But, you know, if I need a break from work or something, then I might click that on.
For me, the entertainment value of that commercial is so high that it's worth watching someone plug their own brand. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm getting enough entertainment, sort of like Super Bowl commercials. You don't mind watching because they're so entertaining.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we see here that it might be hard to quantify returns on investment. That is going to be what the marketers are investing. So help us out here. Quantify returns on investment.
Well, it just means to judge the amount of. To say to your boss, hey, boss, I bought some time on YouTube, or I created our first brand channel on YouTube. Well, he's going to want to know, what did we get from it? What was our return? Did we make any money on the money that you spent?
Okay, it's difficult at times to measure this, to say, oh, we made money on this. Oh, this is a good investment. But there's also kind of like this thing out there that they're reaching for, they want to accomplish, we see in the second part of this sentence.
That is going viral. If going viral is like a gold mine, how would you feel if you're trying to plug your humble little brand of something rather, and your video suddenly got viewed by 10 million people in a week? That is going viral, and that's hitting a gold mine for you in marketing dollars, at least. It's giving you so much exposure suddenly.
Right, because in traditional advertising, you pay for the impressions, meaning you pay to be a part of the Super Bowl because they know that 500 million people globally are going to watch it. Mm-hmm. But on YouTube, it's quote-unquote free eyeballs, meaning I only paid to have the commercial produced. I put it up on YouTube for free, and then, ta-da, 500 million people watched it. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's like she said, it's gold.
Okay, so a lot of people think this is a gamble worth taking. However, we go back to Google and their manager of national advertising sales, Jim Lisinski. He cautions about what?
He cautions against chasing lightning in a bottle, like going after this gold mine and ignoring strategic planning that actually works in order to try to get that one lightning strike of possibility that you go viral.
Okay. All right.
Yes, because it's hard to achieve. I actually was a part of a campaign once where the client was told if he created a really cool YouTube video, he could get 1 million people to watch his video. And that's, like you said, back when 1 million was a lot. And it wasn't very good, and they didn't do much word-of-mouth advertising, and at the end of a few months, they had 30 views.
Oh.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
30?
30. So, obviously, it doesn't happen 30. Every time. Not everything that you put up there goes viral.
That's almost impossible. How do you make a video try to get views and only end up with 30?
This Goodness. Was before the days of the magic viewing.
Tags, you guys. Tags.
Wow.
Tags, tags, tags.
So that's what I want to talk about. I mentioned yesterday about viral. None of this is really an accident. It is extremely rare for a video to be made and then just bingo, bango, 10 million people watch it. Viral, going viral normally is this well-calculated plan that most people don't realize. Right, Josh?
That's right. This takes a lot of moving of different levers, meaning pushing different buttons and making sure you show up on certain charts, even in certain countries, dictate what the rest of the world watches.
Yeah. So when you see a video that's gone viral, often what is behind that is the creator and also maybe the firm or the people that are marketing this video. They have established actually a network of people to help generate this thing, to plant seeds to make this thing go viral. And it could be within certain net groups of people. And it also they may have certain ties to media outlets that actually can promote this. If you're wondering why do some videos show up on the front page of web pages like Microsoft or Yahoo, if you're wondering why does this video show up with this cat, usually it's not an accident. There's a connection in there. So
that's right.
That's, you know, so yeah, we all would like the viral video. There's a lot more to it. And if you don't have a network of people pushing you, probably not going to happen. Okay, let's get into our second reading for today. The Family Insurance Channel. American Family Insurance created its own YouTube channel several years ago with Stand Up for Family, drawing some 4 million views to date. They sponsored a live comedy show, chopped it up into small, digestible bits, and packaged it as a video series. There's a stage and screen logo throughout, and then a call to action at the end, instructing viewers to go to American Family's website for their insurance needs. Creative use of YouTube is an integral part of the company's marketing strategy, according to Talisa Yancey, Director of Advertising. I think the trick from a marketing standpoint is to do what is organic and natural and authentic for you as a company and for your consumer, Yancey said. You may not be in the market for insurance today, but you might be interested in some good family-centric comedy material. And perhaps that can help to build my brand presence and perception to you as a consumer. Why would I be interested in the American Family Insurance Channel? I mean, come on, I don't have kids. I'm just on my own. I don't have anything to worry about.
Well, you're probably not interested in the American Family Insurance at all, but maybe you saw something on their channel that is funny or amusing or interesting. So you're not there looking at insurance. You want to see what did they do? Just the same reason you're on any YouTube channel or site. You want to see something interesting.
Yeah. Okay. They set up this channel, Stand Up for Your Family, Stand Up for Family. And it says here it drew some 400 million views to date so far and goes into what some of this programming was.
That's right. They've sponsored a live comedy show. And we talked about sponsorships earlier in the program. When you sponsor something, you support it, usually by giving money or encouragement. And in this case, It's not just a normal video. It's a live show. So it adds some unexpected value to it.
All right. Well, I like comedy. All right. So maybe I need a break. I need something to laugh about. So then I might be interested. I don't know if I want to watch a whole hour or 2 hour show, though, Joanna.
Well, they know that about you. And they've chopped it up into small, digestible bits. I think one of the worst outcomes of such a digital age is our attention span seems to have just shrunk to nothing.
Right, right. And when we mean digestible, small digestible bits here on YouTube, what are we talking about?
I was wondering that myself. What do you think is the optimal length of a YouTube video to capture your attention yet, you know, get the whole point across? I'm guessing it's no more than 2 minutes.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Two minutes or less.
2 minutes. Yeah. I was thinking 2 minutes. Because I think of my habits as far as when I'm kind of surfing the YouTube pages, anything over 2 minutes, I don't necessarily click on. Yeah, because it's just, I don't have time for it. So.
If I click on a video that's longer than 2 minutes, 2 minutes is about how long I'll give it a chance, maximum, to see whether it's interesting or not.
Yeah. Okay, well, the American Family Insurance Channel, what they've done is they've taken this big, long program, chopped it up, and they've packaged it as a video series. And, you know, part of the marketing and everything is that, okay, it's not a commercial, but there's other stuff around there.
That's right. It has a stage and screen logo throughout, so some branding from the company. And then here's a phrase I think we've used before, a call to action at the end. And that just means there is a clear, visible action that they're asking the user to take at the end of the video. Mm-hmm. And this could be click to learn more or subscribe or sign up or buy our insurance.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Something just at the end to motivate the people to investigate some of their insurance products. Now, we move into here the creative use of YouTube and the American Family Insurance Company.
Well, we're hearing from their director of advertising, Talisa Yancey, and she's saying it's an integral part of the company's marketing strategy. So all of this is done on purpose. This isn't just for our amusement. It's for their marketing.
Certainly. There's no reason for this insurance company to put together a comedy show.
No.
But there is a reason.
That's right. They think the trick from a marketing standpoint is to do what is organic and natural. So we're talking about tricks here, strategies, ways to get the attention of their audience from a marketing standpoint, meaning having that set of beliefs or ideas strictly from trying to get your message out to your customers.
Okay. Now, and Talisa Yancey continues by saying,
she's saying you might not be in the market for insurance today, but you might be interested in some family-friendly comedy, and that might, you know, put their name, their brand name in your mind for when you are in the market for insurance.
Okay. We see here family-centric.
Yes, meaning at the center of something, meaning it's important to you.
Okay. All right here. And then we see she's looking at building brand presence and perception.
Whenever you think of family insurance, you're thinking of American Family Insurance and you have a positive impression in your brain. You might not remember the stand-up comedy. You might not remember their YouTube channel. But if you think one day, I need some insurance, and the first name that pops up into your mind is, oh, that nice family, you know, that company that I saw those fun commercials from. If that's the first thing that pops up in your mind, their marketing strategy has worked perfectly.
Sure. And how this might, you know, be a shift for them is maybe in the past they might have maybe paid for commercials on soap operas or some other network broadcasting television. They might have put some signs up at some sporting events or something like that. And they have moved their marketing over to YouTube, their attention there. I'm thinking of even a bigger example might be General Motors. General Motors most recently decided not to run commercials in the Super Bowl. But they do have a pretty elaborate YouTube presence as far as all of their videos. It's a mixture of commercials and adventures. They've got these different things. For instance, they've got two guys driving around a Cadillac around the world. It's one of the Cadillacs. They're sporty models. and they're showing these two guys having fun. They're driving on two-lane roads in exotic locations around the world. So it's kind of a commercial, but it's kind of an adventure aimed at that 18 to 34 demographic. So General Motors says, has decided, instead of a minute at the Super Bowl everybody sees once, let's put this thing on the web, and they can see it again and again and again. So
a lot more cost effective. Super Bowl ads costs many millions of dollars.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at the top of page 31. We've got a sidebar up there, watching TV history of constant change. And just goes through some different dates here. And what are some of the significant ones?
Well, I remember that 1960 debate between Nixon and Kennedy. I wasn't born when it took place, but it was really a watershed moment in politics, right? Because Richard Nixon chose not to wear makeup.
Right, right. And because of the lighting, Richard Nixon looked terrible. And up until that point, Richard Nixon had a lead in the polls. That debate put him back in the polls, and he went on to lose the election to John F. Kennedy.
I remember when my family got our first VCR and we started using VHS, those little videotapes. And when I got a little bit older, like maybe late elementary school, junior high, and even a little bit of high school, I had blank VHS tapes that I would pop in there into the VCR. And I would record my favorite cartoons and I would watch them later. Mm-hmm. It was... You know, in the days before, now I can watch any cartoon I want on YouTube, practically.
But that was revolutionary.
Oh, that was amazing. I loved my tapes.
Yeah.
You know what? One thing missing from this list, the launch of MTV.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. It was about 1982, I believe. So there's a gap in there, and you can just take your pencil and write it in there. About 1982, MTV hitting the airwaves, and it did radically change the music business and television.
We were all told to call your cable company and tell them, I want my MTV.
Well, I hope everybody wants their advanced. And in fact, you can check out advanced videos. Check out our topic talks on our website, www.studioclassroom.com. Or you can see us on MLD, Chunghwa Telecom. So those are some great videos. Hopefully we can get those on YouTube pretty soon. Listeners, thanks for being here for this fascinating article about YouTube. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Joanna.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.